This is Pirate RC, and I'm near Longboards in Pacific Beach talking with the Pheromones. How are you guys doing?
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Cool, and the guys are just going to introduce themselves by name so you know who you're listening to later on.
I'm Jesse, the singer.
I'm Jeff, guitar.
Jerry, play drums.
Andrew, guitar.
Cool. Yeah, mama, happy you piggyback, man. I know you. It's saving up your love for any day.
Hear them bells ring with such a pretty sound that you've been sleeping to.
You guys played Sun God today at UCSD. That was probably tiring a little bit.
Yeah, it was, you know, a lot of sunblock. We had kind of an interesting setup. Played a few sets, had time to kind of roam around and take in the scene a little bit. But there was actually some pretty cool bands we got to see between our sets.
Grand Old Party,
seen them.
Cool.
Got a chance to talk to those guys before they went on. Augustana?
Yeah, they're local guy.
Are they really?
A local guy, yeah.
Yeah, cool, awesome. I hadn't seen them before. I didn't know their stuff too much, but was pretty stoked to hear some good roots. Got the blues.
It was an early call.
Stuff.
Yeah, you guys were
early.
1 o'clock today,
yeah.
Right?
We had to be there at nine.
You had to be there at 9.
Oh,
so.
Nice. Yeah.
You gotta wake up at 7. Yeah, we're not used to that.
So I would have liked to see Girl Talk. Those guys are awesome, though.
That's tonight, though, right? Like, that's more of a...
tonight, yeah.
Yeah,
I think they're, like, one of the last.
Second to last, yeah.
Yeah, they're really cool. It's like mashup, hip-hop kind of stuff, which is it's good for rhythm.
It's fun.
I like those guys, yeah. It's awesome.
Well, so did any of you guys go to UCSD?
Everybody but me.
Everybody but you, nice.
Yeah. I went to SSU.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, we're all went to school locally, though.
So
and graduated.
Very good, yeah. There you go. No, that's always the other half of it, right?
Yeah, graduated 06. Andrew, Jerry, Craig, and I went to UCSD, and we met there. The three of them were actually in a band.
We stole them.
Yeah,
drama.
And, they had the history, you know, rhythm section had the groove going on, so we just kind of pulled them in once things kind of went a little awry on their side. But
well, I don't know. It's so funny because we've been around and hanging out, you know, around this whole music thing since we started freshman year. I mean, you were coming to shows and we would go see you like playing acoustic on campus, and you know, we were always around.
Yeah.
So you would see each other at shows, and I remember seeing Jesse and Jeff play at the pub at UCSD and we're like, dude, that guy can play guitar. You know, it was like that was the first show. That was the first show. I remember that was the first show we played together.
Yeah.
And who would have known?
We
know?
Like opened up for you guys, and I was like, who are these guys? Who do these guys think they are?
Playing Led Zeppelin acoustics or something, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but then
it was fun.
But then we met you guys, like, hey, those guys are cool.
Yeah,
I want to get to know them better.
So was it fun to play together today on campus as a band and just...
Yeah, we played a couple shows at UCSD, you know.
We got to go a little bit out of the box today, though, because we're playing with a video screen showing student films the whole time. So we had 3 20-minute sets of sonic experimentation.
It's
kind
pretty
of
cool.
Yeah.
It's hard to transfer sometimes between, you know, some kid going crazy and then it breaks and then a new video. And we timed it pretty good. The Beatles and
we
had some...
We kind of, I think by the end, we just kind of turned into like a blues tent.
Yeah.
And just like...
Which is how it should have started.
No, but people showed up at the end. That was really cool. That was really fun towards the end.
Yeah, definitely.
It was dark and closed off, and the only entrance was like a little door. So it was kind of hard for people to get in, but they found a way in somehow.
Very cool. So how's the show tonight, maybe when you're playing in a bar, going to differ from that? Because it sounds like you were doing probably more... ended up just jamming kind of
yeah,
yeah
we were doing like the I think, like, kind of the setup of the show, they just said jam along to, like, the visuals from the videos. So a lot of it, we were just, like, improvising, and then, like, we'd throw in one of our songs, like, every once in a while. And tonight, it's, like, a lot more structured, you know. We'll be playing, you know, we'll be playing a lot of covers just to, like, you know, it's, like, we...
It's, like,
we,
3 hours, so...
Yeah.
You know,
we only have an hour, or a little over an hour of original stuff, so...
Right.
The other 2 hours, you know, kind of mix it up, try to keep it fresh, the, playing the same cover song every, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, so...
Yeah, it'll be tight. It'll be tight.
I mean, I think the difference in this gig, as opposed to, you know, we have the gigs where we do play, like, some more covers, and that's, you know, ultimately, like, how we funded our album,
mm-hmm.
Which we finished back in February, and that, you know, that was a long project for us, and part of it was because all the funding came from shows like this,
right.
You know, local bars where we are, like, playing a lot of covers in our sets, because, you know, the bar owners, they want bands that can do that and, like, keep the crowd happy, and you know, we throw in our original stuff and people dig it, and now we have, like, a product that we can bring to the show and start, like, pushing our name more, and you know, trying to also
money.
And then on the other side, we also play the gigs where it's all where it is just the, you know, hour and a half set where we're playing all our own stuff and billing it as the Pheromones with, you know, like, another band or whatever, and that's, like, you know, definitely something that we'd like to be doing a lot more, and getting out, you know, maybe getting to East Coast,
yeah.
Getting, like, to some more cities. San Diego is really, like, our main hub, but we're trying to really branch out, I think, from here a lot more as of now that we have the album.
So I saw on the schedule you guys have San Francisco coming up, right? Are you guys
right.
pretty stoked about that?
Next week.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday,
Absolutely.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We got 3 shows. In the city, well, 2 in the city, 1 in
Marin.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm actually from Marin.
Okay.
And that's where I grew up, and so we, you know, we all have friends that went to school with us down here that live up there now, and
mm-hmm.
played a show at the same bar a few months back, and had a great turnout, and, you know.
Releasing the CD.
Yeah, this is
yeah,
our
right.
official, like,
party.
San Francisco release party, so it should be sold out, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the material on the CD, was it written by all of you? Is there someone who's more the lyricist, someone who's more arranging, or how's that all work for you guys?
Jerry just does everything, pretty much.
Well, I mean, you know, I write everything in Spanish first.
After the translation, you know, we kind of translate it out.
Yeah. No.
It's
many emails it to.
It's like a really cool process, you know. We like, Jesse does most of the vocal. He does, like, almost all the vocal and lyric writing. And we just kind of, like, start with an idea, jam it. We have long jam sessions, sometimes 20 minutes. We record it on our laptop and kind of listen back. Okay,
right.
that 30 seconds was good. So let's, like, focus on that for a little bit. And,
yeah. From rhythm, you know, a rhythm perspective, you know, Andrew and Jeff make it real easy to jam. So there's tons of communication when we jam.
It's like
we could just, you know, Jeff comes up with a nice little riff, and
yeah.
Craig plays around with it, and I'll follow Craig, and, you know, Jeff is eyes on to everybody, and there's we've come a really long way in being able to communicate, and Jeff will call out, you know, chord changes, and so that doesn't really affect me, but
all about the ESP, man.
It's really great. Yeah, and that's one of the songs. ESP. That's
a lot of
ESP.
I think a lot of it comes out to, like, the fact that the three rhythm guys, like, you know, and Andrew's, you know, he plays guitar, but he's, like, you know, primary thing is rhythm, like, most of the time, and being the link between Jerry on drums and Craig on bass, between, you know, them and Jeff. The three of them were in a band before and have the years.
And you guys definitely have, like, a blues influence, and I mean, that's where the chords and the rhythm and stuff is really important. Did any of you?
Yes.
Soul. It's, yes. We like to play music with feel.
Yeah.
And with Soul, like, stuff with substance and something that, you know, it comes from the heart, not, you know, not light fluff.
Yeah, because you didn't, at least in listening, I haven't listened, I won't say I've listened, like, a million times or something, but in listening, I mean, you guys definitely took the time with music and didn't just say, you know, well, we're going to try to be catchy and poppy and that's it, but actually took time with the music. And are you noticing, I guess, when you do covers and stuff, do you kind of change them up a little bit to fit more your sound, or is that, and are people receptive to that?
Yeah, I mean, I always try to play lead different. I try really hard to make it, just keep it fresh, really.
I mean, a lot of the time we'll be playing a song, which I think we're playing it very much like the original, and then someone will come up to me like, yeah, that was a lot better than the original, when I don't really think it sounds that different, but apparently, you know, your little style and everyone's intricacies come through and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's the little nuances, I think, are a big deal. I remember when Andrew was recording one of the tracks on the album, you know, a song called Riverbed, there's an intro, and you know, hearing it so many times and knowing, you know, how everyone reacts and how you expect everyone to play, you know, I noticed, you know, you can hear him sliding on the neck and doing this rhythm thing that he was like, oh, what is that? What is that, that kind of that shellac sound? I said, you know, that's the way you play it, you know, it's not something that's out of place or kind of weird. It's just the way you play it. Sections, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think also, like, kind of the same as I said before, like, when we play, like, a bar gig like this, there's definitely some covers that we've, like, rewritten to fit us, and then others that we really just try to play straight. But when we play a show that's our show, and it's, like, a set of our album, then we'll throw in a few covers that we kind of, in a way, hope that nobody really recognizes, so we can make it completely our own, and, like, have people keep that kind of like originality mindset going, like, these guys are, you know, doing their own thing, you know. And I think ultimately, like, when you go to see a band that's new, you want to be drawn in by their originality and their creativity. You don't want to, like, you don't necessarily want to hear them play other people's stuff, but, you know, I don't know, like, you know, when we're playing the bar gigs and stuff, it's cool to be able to do both. I think it's realistic. I mean, we want to be able to get paid for our album, and be able to focus all our energy on playing music.
So in looking at the album and just in the recording of it, what was that the first album you guys have recorded together as a group, or didn't you do anything? You guys recorded like just a.
We had an EP. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a quick little demo EP,
which didn't have Jerry on drums or Andrew on rhythm guitar. So it was a pretty different band. And we only actually carried one song from that over to the new album. And, you know, some of those other songs were written before the band started. Mm-hmm. You know, I you know, did it, like, stuff that I kind of did at UCSD beforehand, or stuff that Jeff and I did in our, like, apartment before the band really got its name and got its members and stuff. So, you know, that was kind of the kickoff, the promo piece, and now we got something hopefully that people recognize as, you know, the Pheromones.
Yeah.
So
what was the coolest part about recording for you guys? Since that's part of your songwriting process anyway, but then when you actually went to lay the tracks and, all right, this is what this is going to sound like.
I thought the 2 weeks before we started recording was pretty fun, because it was basically cram time. We wrote, I think, two songs within 2 weeks before we started recording. Maybe even three.
Yeah, we lived in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, we basically lived there. Well, throughout the whole process.
productive and creative and
had no social life for about a year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the first playback that I heard of coming up was the best part. You know, you play these, you play the tracks, and you're always playing independently, right? So, you know, lay the drums down, then the bass will go in, and you sort of hear your part, but you don't hear the whole thing together. And I remember, you know, you playing the drums, and then you hear the first playback of the kit, and you think, you know, where did this come from? You know, it doesn't sound like that. You just never hear it from the outside, right? We're always playing the instrument. And the first time we played coming up, and we had all, you know, all the volume was up. It was awesome. Cool. Really good place. All your hard work was off.
Nice.
Big learning curve too, because we, you know, we
Jeff.
Well, you know, Jeff can't read, so he's been trying to
I went to Stays, like,
nobody reads it well.
We kind of
can't read that good.
I don't read good.
The guy who owns the studio, we utilized his knowledge and stuff as much as we could, and he kind of like saw us through the process. But a lot of the production, you know, we kind of did as a group, and Jeff kind of actually manned the board and the he manned all the mixing and editing and stuff for the whole project.
It was a big, like, to answer that last question, for me it was a huge learning process. I learned like 5 years worth of stuff in 9 months. So
I mean, a lot of people won't produce themselves the first time out.
It was a crash course in mixing, recording, engineering.
It's a kudos to Chris Camp.
Definitely.
I mean, he's...
He owns a great Lutheran shop up in Escondido.
Cool.
Amazing guy. Does
he? Yeah, he definitely pushed us and, like, gave us the tools we needed and the confidence, and then just kind of, like, let us... He was great to us, gave us a big break. I mean, it still cost us a pretty penny, you know.
Well, I used to work there, so...
Yeah.
I'd actually known him since I was a sophomore in college, so kind of got a little bit of a hookup.
Yeah.
And we were already friends, so...
And...
All that was good.
Jeff doing the engineering and stuff saved us a lot of money, and that was also, like, one of the big... motivations behind why, you know, we wanted to do it ourselves, and, you know, I mean, like, I think we had confidence because Craig was a music minor at UCSD, and I did like a sound production kind of music major there, and so we all kind of, between all of us, we had skills and knowledge to be able to do it on our own. It was just a matter of Jeff kind of like took the reins and like made decisions. So in the end, it's like we're stoked to have done it ourselves. We have a product that's ours, and we can, you know, take it and shop it and do whatever we want with it.
Hope you like it.
Yeah
Hope it sounds good.
Tell us what you think.
let us know. We got a forum on our website. pheromonesmusic.com.
whatever you want to say, we'll take criticism too. It's awesome.
You guys have a ton of dates. I mean, you're playing a lot, so you're definitely, as far as
working band.
Yeah, working band and really doing the whole live thing, which is pretty awesome. I mean, it's not like just we'll do one gig here.
It's good, you know. It's just having a lot of opportunity, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kudos to San Diego and you know to the availability. Really, it's, you know, thanks to places like Longboards who keep having us back, and to great places in OB and. the Bahia Bell. I mean, they've treated us well for 2 years, you know.
Yeah, back on the Bahia Bell, which is the booze cruise over here Tuesday night.
Every Tuesday night, July through August.
No, but it's cool because that was something that we got a really awesome response, and we weren't sure what to expect. You know, it was like a Tuesday night thing, and everybody liked it so much that, you know, they kept asking us, like, when we're going to do it again. And so that's, like, you know, as far as the working band thing goes, that's something where we're now, you know, we're Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night there, you know, pretty much booked every Friday and Saturday now through the summer and stuff. So it gets tiring, but, you know.
Especially the double days.
Yeah. Yeah, like today with two. Today.
We think... Or at least I think we think, with, like, you know, the value of recorded music is going down because it's so accessible online. We're hoping that the value of live performances will never go down. So that's where we put all our focus, or at least most of our focus. So,
for each of you guys, is there any band or performer that you've seen that's really influenced you, or just a performance has had an impact on you that you can't believe? Like, one... for example, is like Muse. A lot of people say Muse is amazing. They're three guys, but you'd think it's like, you know, I don't know how, five, I don't know.
Yeah.
More, you know, able to have a huge impact on stage. Is there anyone for any of you guys?
Go around.
Yeah, go around.
Well, we all did a trip to New Orleans last year for Jazz Fest. And I think that was, as a band, as a group, probably the single biggest impact on our music in general, just because, first of all, you grow up with influences like your parents, you know, CD collection, you go steal a CD. That's what I steal CD, listen to it for like a month and get engrossed in like the Rolling Stones or, you know, the Beatles or just like Zeppelin, all those bands, you know, you get your taste of those. And then you try and channel all those things through your music, but a lot of times it's hard to find people that are out to see that kind of music now, you know, and want to hear bands that there's so many different styles of bands and so many different ways to express your music and fill your tastes, you know, now that it's really hard. It's just around here, the desire for that type of influence isn't always there. And when we went to New Orleans, there you find nothing but like the blues and the funk music and the like the brass bands and the gospel and all the stuff that they have there. Everybody is there for like pure soul, and like, you know, you talk to the musicians and they can't make money there because everybody has talent, and the guy sitting on the street has more talent than most musicians around here. And it's like, for me, like, that trip in general was the most inspiring thing, and I went back again this year. And I think, you know, bands like The Meters and you know, Dr. John and those guys that are real New Orleans rooted musicians, they definitely inspired me a lot. I think probably the most within the last 5 years. So
nice.
Yeah, just like influences, like there's the obvious, you know, like Hendrix, Clapton,
you know, and then there's Derek Trucks Band, phenomenal. Jeff Beck, Jeff Baxter, man, it's just like Soul Live. There's just so many, man.
All guitar.
Yeah, all guitar guy. Well, guitar. I mean, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see. I really liked jazz drums when I started out, like Max Roach and Buddy Rich, and I got Buddy Rich's West Side Story on vinyl, and I have it in my room. And I think the best concert experience I really had that impacted me was I saw The Who at Hollywood Bowl, but it was 2 days after John Entwistle had died in Las Vegas. And you know, John Bonham's son is drumming for The Who. I don't know what his first name is, but those guys, I mean, you could tell there was so much emotion in the show, and they played for like 3.5 hours, and it was just coming through with all this energy, and everybody in the whole place was so impacted by it. It was just to hear how everybody was interacting was very cool. So it's great to see good musicians.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say Derek Trucks, but I try to be more creative now.
I think the most
moving show I've been to is at Neil Young's Bridge School concert up in Mountain View, and Paul McCartney was there one year.
Wow.
And it was like, it blew me away. You know, everyone was singing. He played a lot of the good Beatles hits, and he played a song he wrote for John Lennon after he died, which I had never heard before. And then, you know, he finished with Hey Jude, and everyone was like singing and crying, and it was pretty awesome. So I saw a Beatle.
Yeah. Man. No, that's. Yeah, I still think those little punks at Coachella this year had no idea who was on stage. That's just my opinion.
Coachella.
No. I know I wanted to go.
Sorry.
Did you go or?
I went the year before to Rage, which is when Rage was playing.
That was scary.
It wasn't really my scene, but
it was like people burning their clothes. Like, oh man, I was like, yeah, I decided to.
It wasn't a lot of good vibes.
Take a back seat.
No.
Yeah, I haven't been a long time. I went the year Radiohead played our freshman year of college.
Oh, cool.
Haven't been back. Pixies and. Beck played when he was just starting up on his kind of acoustic deal.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good year.
It's been a long time. It's too hot.
So if you guys could, with this album, or even if you're already maybe looking ahead and saying, wow, that was awesome, let's, like, we got to keep doing this stuff, like, what do you want to do? Like, what are your goals? Like, do you see yourself more like, you know what, we want to be where music's living, like in New Orleans, or we like kind of jamming here. Do you guys have anything that you just kind of dream about maybe with it?
I guess seeing where the next level, where music takes us, you know. We definitely want to get, it's kind of like steps.
Yeah.
We definitely want to get into the next ring, you know, and try to get our way in there, maybe an opening act for a tour, playing more festivals like today. It's really fun. Getting kind of branching out more, seeing more cities.
Yeah, I think probably we talked about this like yesterday. I think one of our weak points right now is our marketing, mm-hmm. which is something you can't really pursue unless you have like financial backing. Which as of right now, we're completely independent.
Right.
And so I think a next really big step for us is. Unless we get some marketing, it's going to be a long, long, drawn-out road. Mm-hmm. And we need to, like, we need to get in some other cities, which, you know, we need to have a marketing team and, a management team. That stuff that we're all kind of, the album is going to help us pursue right now because we have a product to show people.
And we have to be our own label because...
Yeah, I mean, that's the way
label,
it is now.
The label route it just is kind of...
Kind of dead.
A lot of artists are creating their own labels, producing themselves, producing other artists.
You almost have to. Mm-hmm. It's just,
times
are changing.
Yeah, you get the, like, we just spent that year getting that experience under our belt, and we need to team up with people that have gotten the next step under their belt, and we need to have fans below us team up with us that need like some guidance, and it's just I think kind of sharing the love a little bit, you know, and kind of trying to find the community that we fit in. Mm-hmm. San Diego is kind of our home base.
Yeah,
you know, we've established, we personally know a lot of the club owners and stuff around here because we've done everything ourselves. But moving on to new cities, definitely pushing San Francisco, getting some more gigs in LA,
festivals, tours,
and that stuff is something that we gotta really
kids parties,
just like barbecues, backyard events, weddings,
grad parties.
Cool. Do it all.
Yeah, definitely. Nice.
Yes.
I always love when we get the harmonica riff in there. Just it's like ding, turn the page.
Turn the page.
Chapter 3.
Cool. Well, I really appreciate the time, you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any pirate jokes for Pirate Pods or could you give us a shout out? We'd just like to see if
what I have a Chuck Norris joke.
All right.
Is so, it a pirate Chuck Norris joke?
No.
She wants pirate jokes.
But that
I don't have a, pirate
it's
joke.
So good.
Oh, but
well, so you know, there's the only
Chuck Norris doesn't read books. He stares at them until he gets the info that he needs.
I'm very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's Jerry Clapping.
Yeah. I got a pirate music joke that
perfect.
Might be appropriate.
Awesome. Yeah, let's do that.
You know what? I don't know how to phrase it.
Okay, we edit.
All right.
It's okay. Like I edit. Like,
so how can you tell when a pirate is a musician?
How?
He's playing bar chords.
I'm pretty sure he's.
Oh
made up right
man.
Now.
That's good.
Cool. Hey, dude.
No, that's good. All right. Well, yeah, good luck good. Tonight, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, taco time.
To me from the early days, and they surface up from the bottom like oil in the gutter. Oh, I'm in my way just fine, playing dumb just like a child. Oh,